Okay, the Darche Knias Aprishus. Okay, this is the way that a person can acquire Prishus. Hine Aderech HaMuvchor Liknos Es Aprishus Hushistakel Ha'odim Begrios HaTanugos HaOlam Hazeh Uprisusam Mitzad Atzman VeHaros HaGdolo SheKrovos LeHivolei Mehem. Okay, let's take this apart one piece at a time. So the most ideal way of acquiring precious is intellectually, is by a person yistakel means to concentrate on how lowly and worthless the pleasures of this world are. Mitzad atzman, it's a very crucial two words. Not that they are lowly and unimportant at all, because adarava, the Olam Hazeh is the way for a person to get Olam Haba. But mitzad atzmam, intrinsically, they're very worthless if they're done for their own sake and not for any greater ulterior purpose in order to get to use them in a way that they're part of Avodas Hashem. So intrinsically, if you use them for their own sake, they're very worthwhile, worthless and not worthwhile. And also, even where you're using them for a good purpose, you have to realize that it's very easy to abuse them, right? So even in a situation where they're worthwhile, right, still there's danger that you'll end up going off the path with them and abusing them. So those are two things. One is to see how worthless they are intrinsically, and to see that even where they're not worthless, there's always the danger that if you indulge in them, even for good reasons, you're going to end up abusing them. Okay. Ki hinei mashem mate hateva el hatanugos ha'ela, what brings a person by his nature to follow and run after these earthly pleasures, ad shitzorek kol kach koach v'tachvulos lafrisho imenu, until you need, then, once you're hooked on them, it's very hard to separate yourself and abstain from them, right? So what gets a person hooked on these things where they're not positive, where they're for their own sake, right, or where they lead him to abuse them and to use them for the wrong things? Hupiti hoinayim haniftim b'mara hadvarim. That is because a person is drawn to them by what he sees. Seeing does not only mean over here physically. Some of the things you're drawn to because you're attracted to them by your sight and sometimes by your mind. That's also called seeing. Seeing can either mean seeing with your eyes or seeing with your mind. Niftim b'mara hadvorim asher hutova orev l'chora. A person is attracted by things that seem to be good and pleasant and attracting. V'hu hapitui, and that's what seduces a person. Shigorim l'chet harishon sheyeyose. This was what brought on the original sin, the first sin of Adam and Chava. Ke'edus hakosu v'teira ha'isho. It all started with what she saw. Ki tov ha'etz l'machol. And here it doesn't mean she saw it with her eyes necessarily, but she understood. She saw the fruit, and she understood in her mind, right, that it was good to eat, and it was attractive. Vatikach mipirio vatochal, including not only what she saw with her eyes, but what the satan told her would be the result from what she would eat. So she saw that, you know, she understood and saw that that he was right, that this would be very beneficial for her to eat. Okay, so he brings out over here that even though before the chait of Adam and Chava, the Yetzer Hara wasn't internal, it was an external thing, still, as soon as the Yetzer Hara started up with her and tried to convince her that eating from the tree, despite the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom said that it wasn't okay, was really beneficial to them, so immediately she was attracted by what she saw and what she understood from what she saw, and that what led to the chait. And And he says, even though, what's it called, in the end it was true, the tree would produce all these things that she saw, but the problem was that it was against Ratzon Hashem. The Rav Hashem didn't want her to have this benefit. He wanted a different way of the world coming to its completion, not the way that they thought. So what made it wrong was the fact that it was not, what's it called, not that it wasn't true what she saw, but it wasn't Ratzon Hashem. That's what made it false. Okay, and the tree was exactly as she saw it. She didn't see things in a different way than they really were. It was attractive, it was Tov Lahaskil, would bring her, a different understanding of the world, whatever it was. But the Rav Hashem didn't want that to be. Wanted it to happen a different way. Okay, so therefore, other kinds of pleasures also doesn't mean that they're not true. It doesn't mean that they're not exciting or attractive or sweet or pleasant or pleasurable. All of that may be true, right? Sometimes the Yetzer Hara makes a person see things and they're not true at all. Okay, it's totally a lie. And much of the Yetzer Hara is imagination. That's why the Beis HaLevi says, the Gemara in Sukkah says that Lashid Lava, the Rav Hashem is going to shech the Yetzer Hara in front of the Tzaddikim and Rishayim. The Tzaddikim are going to look at the Yetzer Hara like a big mountain, and the Rishayim are going to see it like a Hutasa'ara. So he explains that the Yetzer Hara is basically imagination. Nothing is ever as good as you imagine it to be. Right, Averas, whatever, you know, when they come up with these things that are, you know, fake crab, fake shrimp, fake bacon, or whatever. So there's some people who hold that's not proper, even though the Gemara says that everything the Rav Hashem created that's prohibited, there's a permissible way of doing it, or whatever, right? And there's even a fish that tastes like chazer, so vice versa, it's not awesome to eat shibuta. Chazal ate it. It says that they used to prepare shibuta for Shabbos. And the brain of the shibuta tastes like chazer. So could be there's nothing wrong with trying to get a permissible taste of something that normally is aser, right? But in any case, people go, you know, crazy. They never tasted treif or whatever, and this is a chance to, you know, to have something mutter and it doesn't taste as great as anybody thought it was, and the actual thing doesn't taste that great either, I assume. So in any case, so it's all imagination. The most of the Avera is imagination. And therefore, Rishoyim, who not only imagined what the Avera would be like, but actually did it, so to them it's a Chutasa'ara. They realize that it's like a big balloon and they burst the balloon. Tzadikim never actually did the Averas. So they remain with the imagination, which blew it up like a big mountain. So to the Tzadikim, the Yetzer Hara appeared like a big mountain. And to the Rishoyim, they saw it's only a Chutasa'ara. They've been through it. Right, and as they got used to each one, it became nothing, and that's why they needed more and more and more. So in any case, so sometimes the Yetzer Hara exaggerates and makes you see things in a totally distorted way. It's not really like that. But sometimes the Yetzer Hara lets you see it as it really is. But what makes it false is that the Rebbe Shlomo doesn't want you to enjoy that. He doesn't want you to have that kind of enjoyment or whatever. So that's what makes it wrong. So here he says on the bottom over here that Enoch and Ami, what she saw with the Eitz Hadas was 100% true. It was exactly as the Satan presented it. But that was not Ratzon Hashem, that's the way that they should do their Avodas Hashem. It wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. Avakashi is Boral Ha'adam Hayos HaTova Hu Kosev L'gamrei Medume. Right, so in certain cases, where the good that a person perceives is really false. It's not really good, it's not what he perceives, it's just his imagination. And even if it's not, it's false because it's not what the Rebbe Shlomo wants you to do. Ubelish shum hasmoda nechona, v'harabo amiti, okorov lihivoli menu be'emes, right? And even if it's pleasurable, it's only temporary. It's not going to last, right? Belish shum hasmoda nechona. And also, all these things may be good at the outset, but the chances of it leading to negative things, right, are very, very great. So three things. It may not be as it appears to be altogether. And even if it is, it's very short-lived. And even, what's it called, even during the time that it's short-lived, it could lead you to really tsaris that they're going to be the opposite of pleasure. So if a person would consider all of this, right, what he sees with his eyes, what he understands with his mind, right, to be attractive and attracting in this world, right, which could, and therefore he doesn't want to abstain from it, if he would really come to the conclusion that most of it is all imagination, blown up, not really true. And that which is really true, what's it called, isn't going to be long-lasting. And even the short-lasting pleasure could lead a person to a lot of tsaras and a lot of things that are not pleasurable. And ultimately, if he's going to use it in a way that's not the way the Rabban Shalom wants it, then the whole thing is totally false, right, and destructive and non-productive. So vaday shei mashbo v'lo yiratzehu klal. If a person would understand that and think about it before he gets hooked on these various pleasures, so he wouldn't want it at all. Why in the world would he want to put himself into such a situation if intellectually he understands once you're hooked on it, so then you can't see things properly. But until then, it's easier to come to the conclusion that maybe I don't need to get involved with this. I don't need to get started with these kind of things. Person has to use his intellect, his mind, to understand and see how weak and, again, worthless these pleasures are and how false they are. Right? And that's what a person has to intellectually consider before he gets hooked on these things, and then his mind becomes blinded and distorted, and then it's very hard to see what it's easier to see before you become hooked on it. Therefore, it will be easier to separate yourself from them in a way that, like we've learned until now, that the indulgence in them is wrong, and to abstain from them in a way that abstinence is the proper thing. Okay, he gives an example now. He said eating. Okay, the desire to eat, the pleasure of eating. It's one of the more physical enjoyments in this world. Something that's more, you can feel more. It's real. It's more of a sensation. Eating. If you think about it, is there anything more short-lived than that, and that's really worthless intrinsically? How much can you eat at one time altogether is enough to swallow. So the whole thing is, at any one moment, enough to fill your throat. That's it. That's the pleasure you're going to get, is a throat's full. Kashir beis abliya. Kivan shiyotza mimenu. And once you swallow it and you tasted it, it's gone. Right? Unless you take another bite, right? That pleasure is lost. Right? The kach yesaveya and alamai, you're full. So that lasts for a while. That lasts maybe till the next time that you're hungry. Right? So you filled yourself up. But that feeling of being filled up doesn't make a difference if you ate steak. Or if you ate, potatoes, whatever. Imocho barburim avusim, if you ate, stuffed geese, kamo imocho lechem kaber, or if you ate dry, stale bread, you're going to be filled up either way. So the enjoyment of being filled up has nothing to do with how good it tasted till it got down. Okay? And how good it tasted till it got down lasts for a few seconds and is only bite by bite, right? So it's really intrinsically worthless. Im ochel mimenu kedei sviya. The kol shekeinim yosim el libo hachaloyim haravim sheicholim lavu olav machmas lachilosom. Especially if you take into consideration the things that usually, the things that taste the best are the things that are not healthy, are not good for you. So you think of all the diseases you can get because of the good tasting things that you're eating. So you had an enjoyment for a few seconds, and then you could suffer for years because of the results of the of what you ate. Okay. Well, the fachos, I don't know if I really am fit to teach this, to tell you the truth. But, but they say the Bali Musar used to only say things that they themselves did. And if they didn't, they didn't say it. So I'm just quoting to you the Masil Sisharim.
Is there, okay. Is there another way of explaining it?
Oh, there must be plenty of ways of explaining it, but right now we're saying what he's saying.
No, okay. Not food, but like another type of...
But we're talking about food for now. Let's not get even worse than what's it called. But in any case, so a person would really think about this, right? So the Stambi, he'd only eat health food, right? I did that for a while after I had a heart attack. Then I really thought about it and really made sense or whatever. And even Shalach Manas, people sent me these health foods, you know, mixly kind of things that are supposed to taste like, you know, food. And I really couldn't tell the difference between the packaging and what was inside. Which one do I supposed to eat? It really lasted for a while, as long as I was still scared. And then when the scare went away, but if you read this, it's...
When they just printed the Mishra's Yisharim, they didn't have hot dogs.
Yeah, they had other things. They had barburim, what's it called? Stuffed geese.
Right.
I really don't eat stuffed geese, so it really doesn't apply to me either of us. So very good. It's nice to know. So you think about all the diseases you can get, and cholesterol, and who knows what other things that these, you know, in most foods that taste good are probably the ones that are not good for you. And the ones that don't taste good are the ones that are good for you. In any case, lepachos, hakovet shemagiehu, achar achila. Right? Besides the fact that sometimes you eat things that aren't healthy, so it makes you feel sick on the spot. Not that you get sickness. It just makes you feel sick. Right? And it blurs your mind and it makes you tired, right? Which people tell me that that's the case, that if you don't eat all these rich protein meats or whatever, you feel less tired and you can think better or whatever. I don't know, I guess they're right, and I hope that they feel less tired or whatever, but it could be, but that's what he says there also. That when you eat, right, there's all these different kinds of, he calls them ashonim, smokes, and whatever, but they're, they're all the different things in the food that that make your system drudge. It, like, you know, stops up your system. If a person would really think intellectually, right, again, one of the problems is that once you get hooked on it, so it's very hard to go back the other way. But if somebody wouldn't be hooked on it, okay? And he would think. We have a friend that said once, she's also eats healthy food, not to an extreme, but a healthy person. She was sick, very sick for a while, Baruch Hashem. She survived the sickness and is healthy now. So she's very careful of what she eats, I guess. She once said to me, she said, if I was on a desert island, and the only thing to eat was a hot dog, I wouldn't eat it. So I don't know if that's why that's more healthy dying of starvation than eating hot dogs, but in any case, I don't really know if that made any sense, right? That she was trying to tell me, like, this was the last thing in the world she would ever consider eating. Okay, something seriously wrong with her, but in any case, but I guess if you're not hooked on it or anything similar to that, right, so then it's easy to say that. Right. Just personally, true confessions or whatever. Right. I used to be hooked not too long ago on soda. My father also used to drink soda, and that's something that really blows you up. Right. I don't know why, but I had this crazy thing. One of my grandchildren, the one happens to be in Scotland, that my daughter was having a hard time toilet training him. And she doesn't let them drink soda, the children. So, and he saw when I was there that I drank soda. So I told him, make a deal. You become toilet trained, and I'll stop drinking soda. And unfortunately, he became toilet trained. And I stopped drinking soda. And in the beginning, it was almost like an addiction. I'm addicted to that thing. Now all I drink is seltzer, right? There's nothing in it except bubbles and water. And I can't think of drinking soda. I tried to drink some soda. It was like disgusting. It's so sweet, and it. So if you can get out of the habit of doing something, it's easier then to. When you're in the habit, it's hard to imagine breaking the habit. When you get out of it, the more you're away from it, the more it's easy to stay away from it. So I just see from personal experience that something I couldn't imagine, soda was like a staple of my diet. And now I can't imagine why anybody would want to drink soda. It doesn't quench your thirst, and it just blows you up. So, and diet soda, this same family told me that they saw a study that diet soda doesn't necessarily add to your weight, but it destroys your brain cells. So I decided I'd rather be fat and smart than dumb and skinny. But in any case, now with seltzer, I guess I'm not destroying my brain cells or blowing up. So in any case, so you can learn from me, partially at least, not completely, but at least partially. Okay. In any case, so the bottom line is, when you're hooked on something, it's very difficult to. It's before that fact that these intellectual thoughts can help. Okay. In the alcohol, a levadish lo yachbots adam bedavra zek even shetovaso eno tova v'raso ra. The person would really intellectually think about these things. He wouldn't want to get involved in something that he knows is very short-lived, if anything, as a pleasure, and the dangers and the negative is outweighs it by a mile. Ushar kol ha'nol sheba olam kamokei, and therefore you can use this as an example for all other earthly pleasures. Yisbonin bohem yira kain elu yisbonin bohem yira shafilu atov ha'medume shebohem einenu ela zman muad. Even the apparent pleasure and good is very short-lived. No intelligent person would gamble, right, and put himself in a situation where the negative and the detriment could be so great for something that the pleasure is, you don't buy a raffle ticket, spend $100 to maybe win 10 cents. Right? If you do, I have raffle tickets I'd like to sell you, but if, what's it called? It's absurd. So no intelligent person would do that. Right? So, people smoke. It's also the same thing. Why in the world would you want to have that pleasure of smoking, even if it's pleasurable, putting yourself and taking the risk? But people who smoke already, so they don't see that. They don't even think about it. Because to them, the pleasure is there, and the dangers, their mind convinces them they don't exist. Right? As I told you, I once had somebody, intelligent guy, who told me he smokes, because all the research done on smoking were done on Goyim, who smoked 7 days a week, and he only smoked 6 days a week, so it doesn't apply to him at all. And that is the most absurd thing I ever heard in my life. Right? And the person was convinced that it was 100% foolproof thinking. So that's we're all like that. Okay, so in any case, if you haven't been, you're not addicted to it, then this cheshbon will help. If you're addicted, the cheshbon is not going to be that great, and you need other ways of being called capricious. But it also doesn't come right away. It comes after thinking, thinking into it, deeply, and reviewing it over and over again until the message hits home. It's not going to happen in one time.
This would never apply to somebody who's addicted. Not just because it doesn't apply, because is for somebody already passed Nikias. And you can't be addicted to something when you're passing Nikias.
Okay. if you have to go in order. It's not so pushy, but if you have to, yeah. Vihine ma'at ma'at yetze chofshi mi maiser hasichlus asher choshech hachomer oser osoba. And if you think, right, little by little you'll be able to free yourself of that need, that addiction to these things, which we said also is part of the idea of precious. Even if you are going to indulge in these things, but you shouldn't indulge in them because you need them, and you can't without them, but you do it because you choose to do it for whatever time you feel that there's a benefit. But once you become addicted to it, it becomes a necessity, then you're no longer making the choices. The thing itself is making the choice. You're a slave. That's for sure no good. Below you spatem me pituye ha'alos ha'kozvos klau. Oz yimas bohem v'yeda she'en lo lakachas min ha'olam ela ha'achrechi u'kamoshe kosafti. Meaning that, what's it called, that there are times to indulge in things in this world. But you have to use them the proper way. Guard yourself that they don't lead to negative things. And don't become addicted to them. Right, where you're still able to make those decisions when and when not. Because once you're addicted, you can't make any decisions and can't even think too much about it, and then you're stuck.